Oh, I love it. I love getting together like this. You know, at my house, I spend time with the Lord. I presume we all do. I hope so. And it's fantastic. Like, I have some good times with the Lord, and I praise Him for that. But this, when we get together, yes, man, it's just so much more and better that we can gather in His presence, look to the One who saved us, who loves us, who loves us. So I like these moments that we've got, these moments that we've, there was some praise, then you worship, somebody maybe shares a word. There's all these things. There's a fellowship going around. There's a greeting when we are coming in. We're just fellowshipping. But there's a moment which is always, for me, probably the most special moment. And that is when somebody responds. It might be in worship. It might be, we normally throw out the net at the end and then there's a response for salvation. And that moment when a hand goes up, that person's whole life changes. Where the Lord, the King of Kings, walks into the room. Oh, isn't that just beautiful? So, sorry, I tried crying most of my tears out during the week. So it's not like I'm keeping it in my bag and bringing it. Yeah, it's just that for those who don't know me. So, I'm just saying thanks, Raymond. Thanks, Neelan. So we sing these words, and at your throne, gather around all the lovers. Are you a lover? Are you a lover? Are you in love with Jesus? Or will you also go away? So, the message is about John 6, verse 22 till 71. So that's quite a chunky piece of scripture. But what I've done for us is I've summarized it quickly. So I'm going to read it for us. After Jesus fed the 5,000, the crowds searched for Him because they wanted more bread and miracles. Jesus tells them they are focused on temporary food, but they should seek eternal life instead. He then reveals one of the deepest truths in Scripture. Jesus is the bread of life. He explains that just as physical bread keeps the body alive, He alone gives eternal life and satisfies the human soul. And the people struggle to understand Him because they are thinking naturally instead of spiritually. Jesus teaches that people must truly believe in Him, depend on Him completely, and abide in Him like food becomes part of the body. Then when Jesus speaks about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, many are offended. Many of them were offended because they do not understand He's speaking spiritually about fully receiving him and his sacrifice. And later on, the chapter becomes a dividing moment. The crowds who followed for miracles begin to leave. Many disciples walked away because the teaching was too hard. But the 12 remained. And Jesus looks at them and he asks, "Will you also go away?" And Peter says to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." One of the main messages of this chapter is many people want what Jesus can give. But true disciples want Jesus himself. Jesus is not only a provider of bread. He is the bread of life, who alone satisfies. And this question just stuck with me so much this week. Just, will you also go away? Are you a lover, or will you also go away? And I believe that he's calling us to be lovers. But today we are living in a time where many people want what Jesus can give, but not many of them wants Jesus himself. So we pray and we want the blessing and we want the breakthrough in our situations. We want the healing, the provision, we want the comfort. But Jesus didn't come only to give bread. He came to be the bread of life. In John 6, we see crowds following Jesus after he has multiplied the loaves and the fishes. The crowds were amazed. They were excited. They wanted more. They wanted more. But then when Jesus begins to speak deeper truths, suddenly, now they're going to be uncomfortable. And at the end, some of the disciples walks away. Some say it's probably one of the saddest moments, saddest scriptures, where they just walked away. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." So in that sense, Jesus exposes what's in their hearts. The crowd was not following Jesus because they loved him. They followed him because he fed them. Are we following Jesus because we love him, or just because he looks after us, he can provide, but actually we don't want to give him our full everything? We come for the miracles, the money, the healing, the success. But as soon as things become difficult, then it's like, well, I need to go. Or as soon as truth is being spoken and I can't share this with you, I need to keep this for myself. Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." The world will offer us a lot of things: fame, relationships, money, addictions, sin. Jesus said, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." He was speaking about himself. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, so they said, sure. Well, they probably didn't say sure, but they said, this is a hard saying you are saying to us. Who can understand it? The crowd loved miracles, but they didn't love to surrender. And even in this worship moment we had now, that we can come and surrender to him. He's calling us to surrender. It's as soon as Jesus begins to speak about dying to self, total surrender, abiding in him, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In a sense, he's saying, don't just admire me from a distance. Become one with me. And then all of a sudden, many people get offended and they leave. So this gospel is not the gospel of blessing, not the gospel of miracles, the gospel of comfort, but it's of holiness, surrender, obedience, repentance, carrying the cross. I see sometimes on WhatsApp statuses, I see all these nice scriptures. You've probably seen them as well. But then, so, yeah, the Lord is my everything. He's beautiful. And then all of a sudden, when you meet with that person, his whole life is falling apart. I'm like, what's up with that? Do you really love him? Are you with him? Do you spend time with him? During the, also while preparing, I saw this, I had this picture where I saw Jesus holding us as a church, in a sense like this, and at the back somebody was beating him on his back. And in that moment I felt that some of us is going through hard times, and I believe more hard times will come soon. Persecution will come, pressure will come, culture will come, it will change. The truth becomes offensive. I believe, but he wants people that stays, that doesn't go away. People who will stay when prayers are not answered. People who will stay when life becomes difficult. People who will stay when the crowds walks away. People who will stay when the message becomes costly. Anybody can follow Jesus when bread is multiplying. But will you follow him when the road becomes narrow? May our response be like Peter. Where else shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Maybe we can close our eyes again. Just as Neilan's picture, maybe you are sitting here this morning and you're walking this road, and on the sides you've got these waves which the Almighty God is holding up. Praise the Lord. But maybe all that you are seeing is troubles, circumstances, issues. And sometimes these things, they derail us. They pull us away. But I believe for the lovers, their focus and their eyes is set on Jesus. Maak nie saak hoe hard dit word nie. He is still the true living God. He is still good. He is still faithful. He doesn't change. Yes, we don't understand everything always. But if I eat bread tonight, that's fine. If I eat steak tonight, that's also fine. But I'm not defined by that. He's the provider. And if we apply these things to our work circumstances, our lives, our families, the gospel has the power to change you forever. And I was reminded, so a few years ago, before I met the Lord, I faced there was some difficult stuff. Let me start here. I met the Lord. I surrendered to Him. I met Him in a miraculous way. I heard Him in an audible voice. I felt His presence and I knew He was alive, and I gave my heart to Him. And I was changed in a moment. From a drug addict to being saved. But during the walk, it was still tough. I still had some challenges. The drug stuff, that was like just washed clean away, and I never did it again. But there was other things that the Lord also wanted to sort it out in my heart, or stuff that I faced financial insecurities or stuff. And so I, from a young age, I could always, I would steal and sell stuff to make money. I could always make money. That wasn't the problem. The problem was probably how I was making money. And so now I'm in this new life. I'm struggling financially. I know I can do a few things. The Lord said, will you also go? Or are you with me? I said, I'm with you. And there was a few of these different types of scenarios where my love for Him kept me. And I'm praying for us that we will be lovers that gathers. When we sing that song, that we are the lovers. Doesn't matter what life throws at you. I will never let you go. I've made up my mind that I will follow Him. Yeah, I know somebody wants to know, but he offers me these things of the world. No. You don't know what I know. And I pray that in our hearts and our minds that we've made it up, that we follow Jesus. And then when the temptation comes, when the devil will come anfang, that we say, no, we're not going away, we're staying with Jesus. Hallelujah. So I pray that when we sing as a person that's in love. I love my wife so much. but I love Jesus so much more. You must get to a place where you love him so much that doesn't matter what, they can take away everything. I was reminded now of, so in my past I've been locked up in quite a few places, prison cells, concrete containers, steel boxes, stuff like that. And I remember this one specific steel, what's it like a Wendy house, but it's like built out of steel. And it's also just got this one shelf where they will give you food under the door. And but I had a bed in there, and I had a small little radio. I think it was a CD player at that time. And I had this only one song on there, or only the one song on the CD worked, or something like that. So it like hocked fuss, and except there's one song, and it was a Hillsong song. It says, "With everything, I will shout. With everything." And I'm trusting that in our hearts, with everything, when we come to surrender everything. And sometimes it's a daily thing. But that when we surrender, that we come and give our hearts to him, it will only be good. Because the truth is, we are not sure that tomorrow will come. And that there is only two places you will go to. So Rian, that works with us, he sends me a message this week. He said, "Yo, he's got bad news for me." Now, just before that, I was spending time with the Lord, and I had this picture of him saving people, and there was long story, then there was this other person that actually died that didn't know Jesus. That's bad news. So now he sends me this message. "Oh, I've got bad news for you." I'm like, "What's the bad news?" He says, "No, the car's petrol is almost up." Now that's not good news, especially with the petrol prices going up. So we'll just refill it. But in that moment, my heart was like, "That's not bad news. Do you know what is bad news? If you don't know where you're going, you've not met with the Lord. Because you're not sure what's going to happen if you go out that door." But I think sometimes we just live these lives, which is, we take it for granted, and it says we're living here, not focused. That's bad news. Praise the Lord for good news. There's one that can save in a moment, that can change your life for the better.